Welcome back. It's now 6 minutes past 11. You're listening to Radio Islam International. The Rihla team is here in Springs. It is the War on Words, the Muslim School Contest. We're now shifting up a gear. Before the break, you listened to the speeches by the grade 8s and 9s. We're now moving on to the grade 10s and 11s. And this is the debate. And today, a very interesting topic, really extremely interesting. South African university education, should it be free for South Africans or not? In simple words, tertiary education, should it be free? You know, so much has been going on recently, fees must fall, etc. And it's something, you know, everybody else is speaking. Politicians are speaking and, you know, whoever else, the authorities are speaking, even the president at times gives his word. But it'll be interesting to hear what the students have to say. What does the students have to say? Should education or tertiary education be free? I have the three teams lined up here in front of us. Team 1 is Al-Aqsa. They are going for it. They're saying that yes, it should be free. The next team is Binoni Muslim School. They are against it, saying that it should not be free. And then thirdly, we have, oh, it's Middelburg. Middelburg saying against it. And then Binoni, the third one, saying okay. Binoni School number 3 or team number 3 saying that yes, it should be for it. So, in simple words for the listeners, if you have been listening over the past 3 weeks, you probably got the hang of it by now. But for those that are still wondering how it's going to work, you're going to take team 1. Basically, each team, they're going to have a chance to give an introduction, a body, and a conclusion. So, the introduction will be maximum 3 minutes, body maximum 3 minutes, conclusion maximum 3 minutes. After they speak, after they give their introduction, body, and conclusion, they will be asked 3 questions. One question will come from the opposing team, another question will come from the judge's desk, and the third question will come from the presenter's desk. After each question, they're going to get 60 seconds to basically discuss with their teammates how they're going to answer the question. Remember, the judges are looking at the way your presentation, and of course, the content of your work as well. So, are we ready? Can we start? 3 schools, are we ready? Alright, Al-Aqsa will go first. Remember, South African tertiary education or university education, should it be free for students? Should it be free or not? This is the debate. Al-Aqsa is going for it. The 3 contestants representing Al-Aqsa, Junior Randerti, Adil Suleiman, and Hamza Nora. Junior has the mic. It seems like he's going for the introduction.
And to remind our listeners as well as those that have gathered here, the winning team, Maulana Yusuf Umar, will be receiving 3,000 rand. That means each person in the team will receive 1,000 rand, and the runners-up will receive 1,500 rand, meaning each of you can take 500 each. So that's what we have stipulated for this round. 3,000 rand for the winning team, 1,500 rand for the winning team. Are you ready, Al-Aqsa? Let's start with Junior. You can start as soon as you utter your first word. Time will commence.
Good morning to all. My name is Junior Al-Aqsa High in Lanasia. I'm going to introduce the reasons why university education should be free for all South Africans. Since mid-October 2015, one story has captivated both local and international communities. The Fees Must Fall campaign, driven by universities across the country, have been opposing the increasing expenses of university education. Are their demands not reasonable? Should tertiary education not be free for all South Africans, or have we reserved it only for the upper class and affluent? I certainly think not. I believe that every hard-working scholar should be given access to education, irrespective of his or her standards of living. Let me outline the most important reasons why education should be free. 1, to eradicate the inequalities of the past. 2, to uplift the majority of our youth who cannot afford it, and 3, to ensure that the historically disadvantaged, as well as the affluent, are included in the transformation of South Africa. Moreover, free education will attract youth with innate talent and skills, leading to a more productive workforce, which will pave the way to innovation and growth, thereby providing opportunities for South Africans to harness their skills and potential within the country instead of benefiting countries abroad. This way, South Africa can rescue our flailing economy. more significantly, to alleviate the unemployment and poverty irrespective of race, creed, and background. As Nelson Mandela once said, education is the great engine of personal development. It is through education that the daughter of a peasant can become a doctor, that the son of a mine worker can become the head of the mines, and that the child of a farm worker can become the president of a great nation. This certainly highlights why every citizen should be afforded the opportunity to further his or her studies. Having access to free education would remove the problem of youth being frustrated by a system that defeats them. We would not have to deal with youth protesting and banning educational institutions, which we agree is totally unacceptable. Finally, free education would help reconceptualize the goals of a socially just society. I now hand you over to my teammate, Hamza Norath, who will justify our viewpoint and highlight why free education for South Africans is viable, is feasible, and is possible. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me start by highlighting the ideas. The fundamental principle is to create equal opportunities for all South African citizens, as many poverty-stricken learners with intelligence and talent are unable to attend universities. Now, the pivotal question is, how can universities possibly afford free education? Where will the money come from, you may ask? It is simple. If funds are collected, redirected, and invested in tertiary education, it is certainly possible. Firstly, corruption needs to be rooted out nationally. Already there is a glimmer of hope whereby the National Prosecuting Authority has ordered our president to pay back at least 7.8 million rand. A slow process, you may think, but it is a start. More significant is exposing and eradicating corruption within the universities. My point is directed at the misappropriation of students' funding, where large amounts are spent on internal lavish staff functions. Universities need to be accountable and transparent in their spending. Are you aware that the affluent and privileged are able to buy entrance into universities despite not meeting academic requirements? Did you also know that universities are capitalistic and have wide investment interests? Surely their income can be used to make free education a viable option. Reshuffling of the national budget and prioritizing education at the tertiary level is vital. A 25% cut in defense and military spending would add 10 billion rand to the budget, thereby prioritizing education. This includes the purchase of unnecessary weapons. Furthermore, if money for vain projects such as World Cup Stadia could be scraped up, is it then not possible to invest in the future of our youth? The University of Johannesburg has managed to recover 62 million rand via the alumni and the recovery of debt, thereby alleviating the burden of high fees on its students. Efficient management at administration level in universities is urgently required. With the advent of technology, it is unnecessary to employ a large administrative staff who prove more often than not inefficient. Money can be recovered from a variety of these avenues. From the above, it is obvious that free tertiary education is not a mere vision, but a realistic possibility. I now hand you over to my teammate, Adil Suleiman, who will successfully respond to the challenges that are thrown in the face of free university education.
JazakAllah, Hamza. To conclude, let me highlight South Africa's reality. The average salary in South Africa is 9,900 rand. This equates to 119,000 rand per year if one is lucky enough to be employed. Does it seem possible for a parent to pay between 50,000 rand and 70,000 rand per child per year? With many of our youth unable to receive an education, how do we expect to eradicate unemployment? The current unemployment rate in South Africa is 26.7%. The number of jobs available is not the problem. The number of people qualified is. Due to the lack of trained personnel, South Africa is forced to outsource knowledgeable workers. Many argue that South Africa is not financially capable of providing free education for all. This misconception can be easily solved if, as mentioned before, funds are collected, redirected, and invested in tertiary education. And even though this country has very high tax rates, I certainly think affluent citizens will see the benefit of investing in free education. Another challenge naysayers of free education may raise is the influx of students into the universities, as we only have 26 of them. This can certainly be combated by raising and maintaining high academic standards of entry requirements. This will also assist in harnessing the potential and talent of South Africa's youth. The system of providing free tertiary education is not a new concept at all. Countries across the globe are currently benefiting from this system. These countries include Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and in particular, Germany. Germany first started the free education policy over 40 years ago, and the results have been phenomenal. The unemployment rate has plummeted to just 6%. This is a big difference compared to South Africa's 26.7%. The German citizens were willing to invest a little bit of extra money in the form of taxes for a greater output. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said something to the effect, "The seeking of knowledge is obligatory on every Muslim. If we extrapolate on that and include every human being in society, surely the opportunity to attain knowledge is incumbent upon society." Do the pros of free tertiary education for all not outweigh the cons? Is the investment not worth it? Imagine a South Africa without unemployment, without poverty, and without crime. A first-class country with a strong economy, qualified South Africans, and a high standard of living for its citizens to enjoy. I rest my case with the words of none other than Nelson Mandela. Education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. Thank you very much.
MashaAllah, that was Al-Aqsa giving us their view. Therefore, if they say South African university education or tertiary education should be free for its citizens. Right, now they're going to be asked their three questions. The first question will come from one of the other teams, the second question from one of the judges, and the third question from one of the presenters. Now, just a reminder, after each question, you will get 60 seconds to think of an answer. So you can, you know, kind of discuss quickly with your teammates. After 60 seconds, you'll have to give the answer. While that 60 seconds is taking place, you're going to hear the presenters talking, but just ignore us. We're still on air, so everything can't be quiet. We're just going to be discussing various other topics. In that 60 seconds, you as a team, you just focus on getting your answer in order. Whatever the presenters are saying in that 60 seconds, it's basically, it's nothing important. It's nothing really related to the debate. Like I say, because we're currently live on air, we can't just keep quiet. We have to. So we will be discussing something for the benefit of the listeners. So are we ready? Right, the first question is coming from one of the other teams, is that Binoni Muslim School. They'll ask Al-Aqsa the first question.
How will free education impact the socio-economic issues in South Africa?
All right, that was the question. Al-Aqsa, you have 60 seconds. Your time starts now. Right, Jimra Saeed, you know, speaking of this, I mentioned earlier on regarding this speech contest, or whether it's the debate challenge, one of the greatest benefits is the learners have the ability to speak, public speaking.
Gee, that's a very interesting topic. With regards to public speaking, Yusuf Umar, stats in America shows that the highest rate that people commit suicide is because of they are afraid of speaking in public. So this is a great challenge. This student that we are seeing in front of us, mashallah, they have taken out the time. They are courageous to come in front and present themselves. This alone takes lots of courage, preparations, even self-esteem for them to come and present themselves.
Yes, and it's not only about presenting themselves, but they presented themselves in a very good manner, in an excellent manner, whether it be the spelling bee contest, we've seen in the speech contest, and as well as the, and with that, let's say my time is up. Do you have a response to that question?
Who's going
to
answer?
Junior.
Go ahead.
Junior.
Free education will have a positive impact on social economy. Let's get something straight. Education will lead to people being educated, which leads to them being hired, which leads to employment, which leads to no crime. Therefore, if there is free education, there will be no crime, there will be no unemployment, there will be no poverty. So in that case, free education will have a positive impact on social economy.
Jazakallah. We go over to the judges. One of the judges, inshallah, going to pose the second question to the school, Al-Aqsa School.
The impact of free education, do you really think it would eliminate crime and unemployment? Do you really think that is a possibility?
Jazakallah, you have 60 seconds. Ji Maulana Daya, you were mentioning with regards to public speaking just before Junior answered the questions. So, like you mentioned, it takes lots of courage the way they presented themselves. This shows that how much talent we as Muslim Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has when we went to different towns, different provinces, and we saw the talent that these young students has.
Yes, and the talent that they have, the way and the manner that they present themselves, and even the material and the content of the speeches and of the debates have been very good. It's opened up our minds to some and answered some questions that we had in our minds. So it's a learning experience for one and all, and also for the listeners. That and it's encouragement for these young minds that today they are speaking, they're giving their speeches or they're giving their debate, and it's been heard throughout South Africa and throughout the world on Radio Islam International. So it's like a feather in their cap, you know, that they have accomplished something, and whether you win or you don't win, it's definitely an achievement for them. Yes, your time is up.
The main reason for crime in South Africa is unemployment. We believe that providing free education for all will eradicate unemployment in South Africa. No country in the world will be able to fully eradicate crime. But we believe that since unemployment is the main reason for crime, if the issue of unemployment is solved, there will be almost no crime in South Africa.
All right, this was the answer given by Al-Aqsa to the judge's question. The next, third and final question will come from the presenter's desk. Maulana Ibrahim Daya will ask Al-Aqsa. Maulana?
The question is similar to that, with a bit of a difference in it, that we say that free education will eliminate unemployment. However, you find in many countries, if I remember correctly, in North Korea as well, that you find people have brilliant degrees in it, but are not ready to work. The unemployment rate is still high there due to the fact that they are not ready to work for the salary, or because there's so many people. Will free education really eradicate unemployment, or will we just be having thousands of lawyers, thousands of accountants who really can't find jobs?
You have 60 seconds. Chimona, we were discussing regarding public speaking. Ma Yusuf, I think you can bear witness to the fact that when we went to different places and when we heard the debates, didn't you just thought cross your mind that these people make a good presenters on radio or anywhere else?
Yes, definitely. Last week, I remember, I think Maulana Abib also mentioned it on air. He also mentioned that some of the contestants, you know, he's looking at them and they're like perfect radio presenters, alhamdulillah. But the thing with public speaking, Maulana, whether you're on radio or whether you're in media, whether you're in the field of education, wherever you are, in the corporate world, anywhere, in fact, even if you're a housewife, public speaking is a tool that will always come in handy. Because at the end of the day, you're going to find yourself speaking. Sometimes it might be 200 people, it might be just 2 people. But the ability to get your point across and come across clearly, that is, no matter which field, which profession, whatever qualification you've got, that is something that's always going to come in handy.
Time up, third contestant.
Providing free education is giving them a chance to obtain a degree and get a better job. What this will help is allowing everyone from every background the chance to study, the chance to better their lives. Obviously, we cannot all guarantee that they will get jobs, but we at least give them a chance to obtain a degree and better themselves in the field, providing better economy as well for the country.
But mashallah, that was Al-Aqsa School answering their third and final question. Remember, they are for it. They believe that tertiary education should be free to South Africans. We move on to Team 2. They are against it, believing that no, it should not be free. And this is Middelburg Muslim School. And a play on the words Middelburg, and they're also sitting in the middle. The three contestants, Khadija Mansour, Humaira Ayub, and Mahdiya Bamji. Is that correct? All right. Who's giving us the introduction? Mahdiya. And the body will be Khadija. In conclusion, then Humaira, of course. Right. All right, Mahdiya, the mic is in your hand. You have 3 minutes.
The noblest of causes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. To my respected adjudicators, opponents, presenters, as well as the audience, should university education be free for all South Africans? We think not. The quixotic slogans we hear, such as free education and the cliched hashtag fees must fall, are all very appealing. Who wouldn't want to go to campus for free? It is a dream come true. However, as Muslims and as well-wishers of our country, we need to look beyond the surface at the repercussions of such a step. It would be naive of us to support this campaign after merely considering its supposed positives that have been emphasized to us without delving into the possible negative outcomes. On the Young Money Show, a program that highlights issues affecting South Africans, the presenter Nozi Mbaje asked activists in the Fees Must Fall campaign. These activists kept mentioning Norway, Finland, and Germany and how the system is working there. The activists went on to say that the tertiary education system is working and that we must be faulting in some aspect, because if it can work there, why can it not work here? What they need to understand is that in these countries, they are first world countries, they are developed countries. Finland, Norway, and Germany have an average unemployment rate of 9.4%, while South Africa's unemployment rate is 26.7%. This results in their tax generation being substantially higher than ours. Strangely, no one mentions the African or Latin American countries with economic and social-political climates comparable to South Africa, that have free tertiary education systems in place. The reason for this is because it is failing hopelessly. Let's look at an African country, Uganda, for example, that had implemented the free tertiary education system. The system failed within 2 years due to lack of funding. The great amount of money invested in the project was lost, and it caused economic instabilities. The level of education suffered, and they were unable to pay their staff. Even though South Africa has one of the strongest economies in Africa and one of the highest rates of investment in education in the world, our education budget does not allow for free tertiary education. About 7% of GDP and 20% of total state expenditure is invested in education. Our government spends 203,468 billion rand in the education sector annually, which is the biggest piece of the pie in terms of public funds. 42% of all central government spending on most secondary education has been allocated for universities. If free tertiary education is to be implemented, this will rise to a shocking 72%. Can a government struggling to provide basic services, food, sanitation, healthcare, and primary education to the masses really afford this? Well, I leave you to my colleague to explain further. Adequate student loans have been provided by the government with perks. This initiative is driven by the NSFAS and has brought tertiary education to many. Previous corruption claims are promised to be combated by new leadership. One of the reasons that our universities are among the best in the Southern Hemisphere is because funding is not a problem. Fees are paid and this money is reinvested into these institutes. President Jacob Zuma has said that the free tertiary education is possible, but not overnight. He further went on to say that in order for it to be possible, the country has to have the necessary resources, which he said in a statement later that we do not have at this moment in time. This shows that if fees are not paid by students, the government will not be able to make up this deficit, and we will fall behind due to a lack of facilities as well as resources. The quality of our education will ultimately suffer, and this lecturers because of poor payment. We will have multitudes of graduates, but of what quality? Owing to a lack of resources, our government will be unable to pay the management of tertiary institutes, which will result in it disintegrating, as we have seen in primary and secondary secondary education. Another factor I'd like you to consider is that if university education is free, we will start to see a parallel system, just as we see in school-going systems today. At the moment, universities are majority public. However, if free cease to exist, owing to a lack of resources, the public tertiary education quality will deteriorate. As seen in our secondary education, again, private universities will become common, and again, we will have an upper-class strata of students that attend private universities and a lower-class strata that attend public universities. How is this equalizing and giving fair opportunities to all? It's not. Its private universities will be exorbitantly high, catering again for only the elite. If tertiary education is made free, the money will have to come from an outside source due to financial setbacks, which will result in tax funding. Tax funding has the following implications. Number one, a decrease in the number of students, because tax funding can only subsidize a limited amount of students. They will have to cut expenditure on other areas, such as capital funding, if they wish to increase their number of students. This will ultimately lead to a decrease in the level of education. Secondly, it will lead to insufficient study choices because government will not have adequate funds to fund courses that only a handful of students are studying. Just as the Mulana said before, this will only increase our rate of unemployment. Thirdly, tax funding is all in all regressive, as the tax of the majority will be used to fund minority studies, while it can be used for other public services that will benefit all.
Universities are the breed to diverse and controversial views. A state-controlled university environment can dangerously control and restrict lines of research, etc. Our Higher Education and Training Minister, Plaid Nzimande, stands with the House's point of view. He said in a recent statement, "We cannot have a system without fees. A country like ours cannot afford to have free tertiary education for all. Major corporations, together with the government, can fund 205,000 students to go to university and 200,000 students to go to technical colleges. For a developing country, this is fairly reasonable and is increasing every year, and hopefully one day reach a level where the dream is possible. We don't believe that free education is the solution to our country's education crisis, but other steps should be taken to help solve the quandary. More initiatives, such as the Loan Bursary Initiative, should be created, which will give active motivation to the student loan students. More bursaries should be granted to matriculants that have performed well academically, thereby creating a climate of hard work. Major corporations should invest more in alternate funded education, and a fee scale should be developed. Just as there's a scale of a tax based on income, there should be a scale on education fees based on income. The child of an impoverished, previously disadvantaged family should pay less than a child from a family of high socioeconomic status. Now that we have brought to light the cons of free higher education and underlined the consequences if tertiary education is made free, we can conclude that even though free tertiary education might seem to be like a noble cause, it will lead to consequences tantamount to tyranny. So, we would like you to rethink your opinion. Is free tertiary education really all that appealing? Or do activists merely make it look that appealing? Because remember, all that glitters is not gold. Jazakallah.
Right, mashallah, that was Team 2 speaking, giving their side of the story. That is Middelburg Muslim School being against it, saying that South African university education should not be free. They're going to get their three questions. Al-Aqsa is going to ask them the question, the first question. And remember, once a question is asked, we have 60 seconds to discuss the answer. Yes, to discuss your answer. Alex, are you ready? You may ask a question.
How do you propose South Africa bridges the gap between the extremely rich and the poverty-stricken? In other words, how do we balance the economy if only very few people can obtain qualifications? And how do we uplift the masses?
Okay, your 60 seconds start now. While they're coming up with that answer, we go back to the discussion, Molana, regarding the importance of public speaking. Or, you know, let's just say the practicality of learning. I suppose public speaking is not something you can learn. It's not a course, it's not a book also. It's more experience. You know, the more you go into it, eventually, inshallah, you'll break the ice. Some take long to break the ice, years. Some, alhamdulillah, they're just a natural talent. After two or three speeches, the ice is broken. But it's something that everybody should make an effort, isn't it?
See, Mulana, what you mentioned is quite correct. But also, it's also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, public speaking, speaking in front of people. At times you are blessed with a talent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes you make effort and you reach those levels. Even if you look in our ulama's fraternity, how our ulama, how they have excelled themselves and becoming international orators and becoming international public speakers. Time up. Inshallah, we'll continue after the presentation.
I think that by investing in primary education, they are already investing money. So by investing in tertiary education, it's a step too far, because they're already investing in primary and secondary contributions. They're already making that. And as I mentioned, if they contribute primary and secondary and tertiary, it will be 70% of the annual contributions. It will increase 63% of investment rate in the primary sector. So therefore, I think that they cannot contribute to all three. They have to make a decision, and I think primary education is the one that we need most, and there are bursaries and student loans, etc., to provide for those people who cannot afford tertiary education.
Jazakallah. We're going to ask the judge to pose the second question.
So essentially what you're saying to us is that tertiary education is a privilege and not a right. So explain to me why you consider tertiary education to be a privilege and not a right for the people of the country.
Okay, you have 60 seconds to respond to the judge's question. Well, Yusuf, as we were discussing, that most of the time it's a talent given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those people that excel, and sometimes people try hard, they strive, they work for it, and they reach such levels.
Yes, there are people that try hard, and, you know, like you say, some, it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they just, you listen to them speak, and it's just so interesting. Whatever point they want to put there, they can put it. Basically, they can convince you the sky is green. You know, that's what type of speakers they are. You get people like that. There's few that are gifted, but there's also quite a few that once upon a time they were right there at the bottom, they were shy. But they tried hard. They tried hard. They learned. They took advice from elders, etc., from those in the field, experienced ones. And I suppose that's how they reached that level.
Yes, with practice, with hard work, you'd probably be able to reach levels with talent, wouldn't they, you? And with that, we come now to 2 seconds. Your time is up.
Okay, we believe tertiary education is a privilege. One of the famous people said that primary and secondary education is like a river. You need the water in it to survive. But tertiary education is like bottled water. You don't need it in a bottle. As long as you have it in the river, it's fine. There's a lot of people that have got that get jobs based solely on primary and secondary education. You don't need tertiary education to be successful. You don't need tertiary education to be employed. You can become a handyman. You can work as a plumber. You can work as an electrician. You don't need tertiary education. It is a privilege. To obviously become doctors and things like that, that's a necessity. But only a limited amount of people are needed as doctors.
Right, Jazakallah for that. Your third question will come from the presenter's desk. Who's answering the question? Humaira. All right, Humaira. It's not exactly a question, it's more like a statement or a quotation, and I just want to respond to it. What if the cure for AIDS lies deep within the mind of a girl that cannot afford an education? Respond to that. You have 60 seconds. Shibuna, now on the back to the topic of the public speaking, it's you know, and I was you know, we one important aspect of public speaking as well is body language. You know, many people don't realize this. They focus on the words, but the body language, you know, the movement of the body, the eye contact, even the clothing, even sometimes it, when you go really deep into it, it's even the shoes you wear. And here we're in a carpeted area, so none of the contestants are wearing shoes.
The socks you wear,
the color socks you wear. But even the shoes, you know, it goes so deep when it comes to body language and, you know, putting forward your presentation.
Yes, body language, when we hear from the speakers, the renowned speakers or those who are good in this field, the first thing they will tell you is that your body language plays a very important part. If you show that you are confident, if you show that you are in charge, it will have a different effect on the audience than when a person doesn't have that body language.
Right, your 60 seconds is up, Middelburg Muslim School. It's time to answer your third and final question.
If this child really had the intellect to have the cure for AIDS, that means that she must be having some medical capacity in order to apply for a bursary. Because it's not that she can't have no idea about it and then all of a sudden have the cure for AIDS. And when she... So that means that she could have applied for bursary. There's many other opportunities for her to develop her education. It's not that just because she couldn't afford it, it means that she can't have an education. If she really had the intellect and she worked hard enough, put the effort in, she would have made it there.
Right, Jazakallah for that. That was Middelburg Muslim School. We're moving on now to the team number 3, Binauni Muslim School, consisting of Atia Asmal, Nabila Nazir and Saleha Sidat. Do I have the names correct? Yes, the names are correct. Right. Binauni Muslim School, they are for it. They say that tertiary education in South Africa should be free. Binauni, you see in Al-Aqsa, you see in Middelburg, you more or less got the hang of it, so you know how it's going to work. Introduction, body, conclusion. Who's got the mic? Name?
Saleha
Sidat. Right, so you'll be giving us the introduction. Saleha, when your first word is uttered, your 3 minutes will start.
Education is the most powerful weapon that we can use to change the world. These are the wise words of our icon, Nelson Mandela. Yet, only 5% of our population can comfortably afford university education. Clearly, a change needs to be made. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Saleha Sidat and I will be doing the introduction of our debate. Atia Asmal will be doing the body and Nabila Nazir will end off with our conclusion. This house believes that South African university education should be free for South Africans. We have identified a serious problem with status quo, where only the wealthy are educated and the black majority is not. I'm certain the house will agree with the proposition when we say that education is a right and not a privilege. By not educating the poor because they can't afford it, they would have low income jobs or no jobs and would thus not be making the poor poorer, while the rich who can afford university education will be well educated and work a high income job, making the rich richer. The cycle will continue and the gap between poor and rich will increase, increasing economic inequality in the country. Whereas if education is free, the poor will be educated and can work a medium-high income job, thus making the poor richer. People won't be spending money on education, and this money can be used for basic needs, that is, housing, groceries, and healthcare. Because in recent years, the standard of living in South Africa has increased due to inflation caused by the weak rand and the drought. Over a period of time, the gap between rich and poor will no longer exist. What solution are we proposing to combat an uneducated youth? We would allocate government revenue to the funding of universities and the resources used in universities. You might ask, how would we prevent students from taking advantage of free education? Simply, every right has a responsibility. Students should be selected on merit. There will be stringent admission regulations. Students who do not pass will have to pay back They must complete their qualifications within the stipulated number of years so that there will be an incentive and willingness to study. Education means prosperity and the end of poverty.
Recently, an interviewer was in KwaZulu-Natal conducting interviews in the northern rural areas. The interviewer sat down with an old man, Zungu, next to his kraal, which consisted of 5 goats and 1 calf. Zungu's livestock has been gobbled up by the cost of educating his children. He wanted to ensure that their future would be better than his. 3 were sent to Durban universities and 1 to Johannesburg. He is just one example of many parents who have spent so much on education to see their children put through university. He sold off his livestock one by one, as the fees soared. When students stood up last year in October, they were demonstrating their frustration of parents who are battling to make ends meet after sending them to university. More than 2 decades after the fall of apartheid, the poor still struggle to send their children to higher education institutions. It is sad to find that only the rich will educate their children, because it has always been the hope of parents that their children may be able to lift themselves out of the cycle of poverty. In accordance with the ongoing struggle for free, quality education, the Fees Must Fall campaign recognizes the registration fee contributes to the increasing number of students who are denied access to education due to their economic disadvantage. Fees Must Fall is dedicated to ensure that the historically economically disadvantaged have the same rights as the historically privileged. The impossible reality of the students is that they cannot afford payment of registration together with tuition fees. So, they symbolically protest to achieve their goal, which is a free, quality education. University fees must fall, and they must fall now. This was the message from Gauteng Education Member of Executive Council Lesufi. He said, "I believe that this country can afford a free education, and I believe the students are right when they say that the fees are expensive. I don't want students to be denied to be better people because they cannot afford the fees. University fees must fall, and they must fall now."
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As the third speaker, I shall elaborate on the arguments put forth by my colleagues that South African university education should be free for South Africans. People with talent and potential will have the opportunity to further their studies and contribute towards the betterment of the country. There will be job creation, which in turn reduces unemployment rates, poverty, and debt, and hence the standard of living will improve. University fees have drastically increased, and so qualifying students do not acquire the means to afford an education and fulfill their dream of a good future. If our tax money is used in a more responsible and sensible manner, the income from the government to universities would be more than sufficient. The cost of running a university is about 50 billion rand annually. This might sound like a huge amount, yet there are numerous ways in which significant amounts of money can be saved, such as reduce bailouts to failing state-owned enterprises. SAA bailouts have costed South Africa 30 billion rand thus far, with a 6.5 billion rand bailout earlier this year. The 1 trillion rand nuclear deal should be eradicated and the money redirected towards education, as a nuclear plant is not a renewable source of energy, whereas education is. The extravagant amount of money paid to the public sector should be reduced, as it is projected to grow to 437 billion rand. A mere 1% saving would attain 4.3 billion rand for education, as well as for other urgent needs such as healthcare and housing. Some may argue that if education is free, people won't value it. Yet, if people didn't appreciate education, they wouldn't fight for it to be free like that of the Fees Must Fall campaign. The fact that they're fighting and standing up for what's rightfully theirs proves that they value it. An example of a country that has progressed due to free education is Cuba. The educational system is run by the state and is 100% subsidized by the government. The government allocates its highest share of their national budgets to the education. Cuba has the best education system in Latin America and the Caribbean and has been praised for its success in the health and education fields. Due to the country's social system that provides state-sponsored education, Cuba has achieved universal literacy. Providing education and ensuring that every South African receives an education is upholding our constitutional values. Dr. Salim Barat, Vice Chancellor of Rhodes University, says, "We shouldn't be shy of asserting the aspiration to live in a South Africa that puts human development and well-being first and then prizes a highly educated, informed, and critical citizenry. This is consistent with our constitutional ideals. So come on, fellow South Africans, the buck stops here. Let's stand together to educate the nation and not only those that can afford it."
And mashallah, that was Team Benoni Muslim School giving us their view regarding the tertiary education should be free to South Africans. They are for it. Their question will be asked by Middleburg Muslim School. That is the first question. Can we pass the mic on to Middleburg? All right. Middleburg, you may ask the question.
You mentioned in your debate that you are totally for the state funding the tertiary education 100%. Don't you think that this is going to restrict the flow of information? If the government is able to control how much money goes into it, they're able to control what research is also expanded into. What's your response to this?
Okay, that's the first question that was asked. They'll have 60 seconds to come up with an answer. Gee, Molana, we are speaking now. I think last time we spoke, we were focusing on body language, the importance of body language. And, I think it's, I'm not sure of the exact stats, but I think psychologists mentioned that body language stands for more than 50% of your presentation, of anything you want to speak about, anything you want to present. And body language, of course, would refer to the way you dress, like I mentioned, which includes the color of your shoes and socks as well. It also would refer to, how your hand movements. It would refer to how you stand. It would also refer to what type of smile or what type of grin or what type of frown you put forward. All those false parts of body language, Molana.
Gee, Molana, I'm not sure about the stats, but there are teachers around. I see Mr. Imran Karolia is also good in this. Maybe he can give his input and tell us with regards to body language, with regards to judges. Maybe next question when we ask, we can call Mr. Imran and then maybe he can give us a brief explanation in our break. But time is up. Let's go to Benoni Muslim School. What's the response?
Can I firstly point out that we weren't saying that the government should 100% fund the universities. They should fund the universities at their, the government does have money, but they're just not giving it to us. They can spend money on a nuclear deal, but they can't spend money on education. They can spend money to build Nkandla, but they can't spend money to build more universities. The government doesn't use their money responsibly. They should use their money for the future. For the future is our graduates. The education is the future. They should use their money they should use tax money for university education and not for nuclear deals and bailouts and Nkandla. They don't use their money responsibly.
Yes, that was the answer to the first question. The question was posed by Middleburg Muslim School to Benoni Muslim School. Question number two is coming from the judge's desk. It will be asked by Faisal Patel.
Statistics have shown that at least one-third of high school students who go to university have failed or have flunked. If people have to pay to go to university, you could argue that they would value the education more. If higher education is free, it may encourage students to take an easy 3 years of education as opposed to flunking as well. What's your comment on that? Don't you think that spending time at the university and wasting time and resources, if you're not really going to study, is a waste of the state's time and money?
Yes, that was the second question. They have 60 seconds to discuss it.
you. So we're going to ask Mr. Imran Karolia if he can kindly come forward and share with us within a minute or two with regards to speech. Let me take the mic there, Raza Magana. Mr. Imran is an educator at Springs Muslim School.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, very interesting comment made. I think initially what psychologists do and communication experts is that they first break down verbal communication and then non-verbal communication. So the percentage difference you're looking at, you know, the stats vary. I think it's like 90 and 10%. So when we speak, we're effectively sending out messages and, you know, it's about mutual understanding. So in terms of the message, in terms of non-verbal communication, it counts larger. Then they split it even further, and I think you mentioned something about 50%. I think it's 55% body language, and then the remainder would be tone of voice.
We'll continue after this day's answer. You can just remain there, inshallah, and we'll continue with that, your answer.
Okay, as we said earlier with the first speaker, we're giving the opportunity for the students to study. However, there is a criteria that must be met, and we're not just accepting anyone into the university. Students should be selected on merit, and there will be stringent admission regulations. Also, you said that about the resources, but they have to complete their qualifications within a stipulated number of years, so therefore there will be an incentive and a motivation for them to study and learn.
Okay, Jazakallah. The third question comes from the presenter's desk, and then after that we ask the question, we'll ask Mr. Imran to continue. The question that I'm asking Binoni Muslim School, you say that education should be free. So what about those students that qualify and they leave the country? Wouldn't that be a loss to the country if education was free?
Yeah, so to continue, Mulana, very interesting is that communication is first broken down into verbal and non-verbal, and then when you consider non-verbal, they break it down further into body language and tone of voice. So it's not so much about the content of what you're saying, it's really about how you say it and the manner in which you say it. Very interesting point.
Before you leave, whose speech or who do you look up to when you are listening to a speech? Who inspired you? Or which celebrity speech would you like to listen to normally?
Oh, that's a tough one. There are many. I think, believe it or not, Musi Maimani is a good example in Parliament. Yeah, Musi Maimani is. Yeah, just to name drop. Yes.
What about the famous speech of Martin Luther King about "I Had a Dream"? I think that was a historical speech. Maybe we can ask your comments after they answer the question. Let's go back to Binoni Muslim School. Your time is up.
Okay. So not everyone would want to leave the country. And basically most people are leaving the country because of the crisis that South Africa faces, such as unemployment and poverty. But if education is free, and usually they want to leave the country because they want a better future for their children, but if education is free, more children will, their children will go to university and be educated. And they will, they'll be educated.
Just to put you into perspective what's happening now, the first debate has come to an end. That is the first three teams, Al-Aqsa School, Binoni Muslim School and Middelburg Muslim School. We have two more teams left, Springs Muslim School and Zinyabel Secondary School. They're going to go up against each other in a bit. So what we're going to do, of course, there's going to be the winners are going to be chosen from collectively, from both debates. So after we're going to complete this the second debate, then the winners will be chosen. So those two remaining teams, Spring Muslim School and Zinyaville Secondary School, a request to you to come forward, inshallah. It's now just past 12. We're going to take an air break, and we'll be back very shortly. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Radio Islam International on the Saturday afternoon time. Right now it's 12:15. We are broadcasting live from Springs Muslim School, and if you are listening to us on Sirius FM, we say Jazakallahu Khairan in the eastern area to Sirius FM for broadcasting this. And inshallah, just before our ad break, we had the first round of our debates with Al-Aqsa School, Benoni School, Madhubal School. Now we move on to the second team, that is Springs Muslim School and Zinyaval Secondary School. From Springs Muslim School, we have Wasim Dean, Amara Sidat, and Rahima Ranseli. And from Zinyaval Secondary School, we have Khadija Esak, Firdaus Abdul Karim, and Amina Muhammad. These are the six participants that will be participating. So let's start with Springs Muslim School. The topic is South African University Education Should Be Free for South Africans, and they are going to debate in favor of the topic, whereas Zinyaval will be against the topic. They'll be against South African University Education Should Be Free for South Africans, and they're going to debate against it. So let's start with the first participant, that is Wasim Dean, who's going to say his introduction.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Wasim Dean from Team SMS. Our house firmly believes that South African university education should be free for South Africans. I will unpack our understanding of the motion in context. South Africa is a country still recovering from colonization, slavery, and apartheid. In 1953, Bantu Education's major provision was enforcing racially separated educational facilities and the vast majority of black South Africans were disenfranchised until 1994. According to the UN Development Program, about a quarter of the population is unemployed and living on less than 20 rand a day. In short, ours is a deeply stratified society where poverty and inequality remain widespread. The Fees Must Fall movement last year highlighted the deep financial frustration and burden university students face. It highlighted a symptom of a greater problem. It has become the generational mandate of the youth and showed how they can shake the core of an unjust system. The South African Institute of Race Relations did a study that showed only about 5% of South African households can comfortably afford university fees. Don't walk up to a potential graduate and say they can be whatever they want to be, because in reality, they can only be what they can afford to be. Let me also highlight that we are living in a knowledge-based economy, and not providing free higher education is basically a disinvestment for our economy. Nelson Mandela once said, young people must take it upon themselves to ensure that they receive the highest education possible. Madiba also said that education is the most powerful weapon which one can use to change the world. So why make it exclusive to a select few? The National Student Financial Aid Scheme only supports 16% of university students. The scheme is not free. It's failing, and radical restructure is needed. Furthermore, the Human Science Research Organization has found that 40% of university students drop out in their first year, mainly due to the lack of finance. As a result, students are kicked out. The Freedom Charter stipulates the doors of learning and culture should be open. Education shall be free, compulsory, universal, and equal for all. Higher education will be open. In Islam, acquiring education is obligatory, and not only religious education. Surahs in the Quran mention the production of milk, blood circulation, the Big Bang theory, the expansion of the earth. So imagine burdening those who's wanting to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands. We all know the exorbitant price of education, particularly in our country, perpetuates privilege, inequality, and segregation. South African university education should be free for South Africans so that we change the rhetoric and realities of the past inequalities which still linger in the lives of many of our people. Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Rahima Ranseli. Firstly, we'd like to highlight how flawed our constitution is. Basic education is a right, but higher education isn't. Wasim quoted the Freedom Charter, and we see the disconnect between the two. Essentially, education is a right, not a privilege or luxury, and it should be. So, the fees should fall for South African students as it is a public good and an investment. In South Africa, only 0.8% of GDP is spent on higher education. This is pathetically embarrassing considering the fact that the international average is around 2.5%. So if the money is channeled adequately, we can start solving the crisis. In this year's national budget speech, 297.5 billion rand was allocated to education. 205.8 billion rand was given to basic education, while only 28 billion was given to tertiary education. Why is this? I'll tell you, a lack of political will. The increased dependence on fees from students is the reason for commodification of our universities, which function as a business where poor students are seen as liabilities. I read an article in the Daily Maverick which indicated that about 100,000 rand per annum is sufficient to cover the inclusive cost of an undergraduate student. If you do the math, a further 7 billion...
وإذا السماء تشققت من هول ما وعد الإله بآخر الأزمان والأرض غير الأرض هذا يومها وجبالها.
$297.5 billion rand was allocated to education. 205.8 billion rand was given to basic education, while only 28 billion was given to tertiary education. Why is this? I'll tell you, a lack of political will. The increased dependence on fees from students is the reason for commodification of our universities, which function as a business where poor students are seen as liabilities. I read an article in the Daily Maverick which indicated that about 100,000 rand per annum is sufficient to cover the inclusive cost of an undergraduate student. If you do the math, a further 7 billion...
يتفكرون بآي
خالق as it is a public good and an investment. In South Africa, only 0.8% of GDP is spent on higher education. This is pathetically embarrassing considering the fact that the international average is around 2.5%. So if the money is channeled adequately, we can start solving the crisis. In this year's national budget speech, 297.5 billion rand was allocated to education. 205.8 billion rand was given to basic education, while only 28 billion was given to tertiary education. Why is this? I'll tell you, a lack of political will. The increased dependence on fees from students is the reason for commodification of our universities, which function as a business where poor students are seen as liabilities. I read an article in the Daily Maverick which indicated that about 100,000 rand per annum is sufficient to cover the inclusive costs of an undergraduate student. If you do the math, a further 7 billion... could fall for South African students as it is a public good and an investment. In South Africa, only 0.8% of GDP is spent on higher education. This is pathetically embarrassing considering the fact that the international average is around 2.5%. So if the money is channeled adequately, we can start solving the crisis. In this year's national budget speech, 297.5 billion rand was allocated to education. 205.8 billion rand was given to basic education, while only 28 billion was given to tertiary education. Why is this? I'll tell you, a lack of political will. The increased dependence on fees from students is the reason for commodification of our universities, which function as a business where poor students are seen as liabilities. I read an article in the Daily Maverick which indicated that about 100,000 rand per annum is sufficient to cover the inclusive cost of an undergraduate student. If you do the math, a further 7 billion...
بأمره يحيي بها ما مات من بلدان ومن آياته تلك التي حملت بلا رجل ولا بهتان والكل جند للإله ما. Oh.
تشققت من هول ما وعد الإله بآخر الأزمان والأرض غير الأرض هذا يومها وجبالها نسفت أمام عياني وتفجرت فيها البحار بأمره هذا ووصف الوعد بالقرآن والكل من بعد الممات مرادهم نحو الإله الواحد الديان في ذلك اليوم العظيم نفوسنا حشرات وها قد خاب ذو النكران من بعد مبعثهم حساب عادل يا ساد من ثقلوا على الميزان يا ساد هم وجنان ربي فتحات يتقلبون بأنعم الرحمن تحرروا من قبضة الشيطان يتفكرون بآي خالقنا التي نطقت وتدعونا إلى الإيمان يتفكرون بآي خالقنا التي نطقت وتدعونا إلى الإيمان.